I'm Leo Sidran with The Art of the Story. In the early days of the pandemic, when the world had gone quiet and hospital rooms were closing to visitors, singer-songwriter Emily Kavanagh began asking a simple question. Is there any chance anyone needs a song? At the time, Emily was like a lot of musicians in New York, suddenly without work, without venues, without a clear sense of what came next. But unlike most people, her instinct wasn't to look inward, it was to look outward. She started calling hospitals and hospices. At first, they didn't know what to do with her. They needed doctors, they needed masks, they didn't need a song. But within a few months, everything changed.
Everybody called back. Every chaplain, every nurse practitioner, every volunteer coordinator. We have a nurse in isolation. We have a kiddo that's not going to go home. We have this couple in hospice and they're so confused. Could you send a song?
What began as a handful of recordings turned into something much bigger. It became an organization called Song For You, a nonprofit network of artists and a way of preserving memory.
What started as just sending songs, you know, comfort songs, ways to sort of help people feel a little less alone, like low budge, low quality, sent these covers and then eventually realized, well, maybe like there's something to this if we write these songs. Because I think what struck me was that people were dying in rooms with other people that loved them and that their story and their legacy wasn't going to be told.
But the story of how Emily got there doesn't start in a hospital. It starts in Chicago in a big Irish Catholic family. She boasts of having 57 first cousins.
So as I get older and I meet more people out here, when I say 57, they're like, that's unheard of. But back home, we were actually a smaller family. There'd be like families with 75, 100. And I think music was such a big part of that from an early age, like not from any kind of formal way. My grandma was a great singer. So I remember being really young and hearing early recordings of her sing. And to this day, I swear that I thought she was Judy Garland.
Emily loved being on stage, but for a long time, she lived just off to the side of the spotlight.
I was on the road before I was on the road. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like the girlfriend, always at the show, always backstage. I was very young and very impressionable. And while I was always singing, I had never known you could make a career of it, right? Because my gran was amazing, but she also went on to have 7 kids and 35 grandkids.
And somewhere along the way, she had a realization. If she was going to stay in New York, really stay, music couldn't be the thing she did on the side. It would have to be at the center. Emily and I became friends when I produced her first album, Keep It With Mine.
There must be something about you, darling. Something I can't explain.
Emily doesn't fit the mold of the person you'd expect to be building a nonprofit organization like this. She's disarming, a little chaotic, self-effacing.
So I lived under a table after I lived in a hallway. So things were moving up. I've kind of lived the gamut. It's been a lot of crazy. I've lived with my girlfriends, I've lived with my boyfriends, I've lived with random people.
And yet she's the one who organized dozens of musicians, partnered with hospitals around the country, and created a system that delivers deeply personal songs to people at the most vulnerable moments of their lives. When we spoke recently for the Third Story podcast, she told me about becoming accidentally famous in Ireland, relearning how to walk after losing the use of her legs, and spending her life at what she called the intersection of songs and service. And along the way, she reminded me that, yes, everyone could use a song.
You know, I have felt so many things in New York, I think, after living here long enough, right? I've been broke. I've been missing my family. I've been homesick. I've been tired, burnt out. I've never felt lonely, and I've never felt lost. I feel so lucky to be able to say that. Like, I've always known who my friends are. I've always known who I am.
To learn more about who she is, you can hear my full conversation with Emily Kavanagh at WBGO.org. I'm Leo Sidran, WBGO News.